Tonight, I want to talk to you about serving. All of us who have received Christ's forgiveness are forever in his debt. And as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, we are not our own. We are not our own. No, you're not your own man. If you are a born-again Christian, you're not your own. You belong to another. You belong to Jesus. Amen. You are not your own. You've been bought at a price. He paid. He paid the ultimate price. He owns us. Amen. And we are to glorify God in our body and our spirit. And then it says, which are God's? They belong to him. Amen. Now, you know, this idea, this principle might be a little strange for some people to really wrap their mind around. But listen, we need to know that this is what the scripture says. What the scripture teaches is that we actually belong to Jesus. We're his. He owns us. Amen. And so, you know what? When we're talking about serving him, yes, he is our master. My goodness, we just got through singing over and over and over. I am yours, completely abandoned. I know I'm singing it off key. It's all right. I'm making a point. I'm yours, completely abandoned to you, Lord. Listen, don't sing that stuff just out of, you know, some kind of religious thing. We sing that stuff from the heart. And I want to tell you, it is absolutely scriptural. We belong to him. And so when we call him Lord, a lot of people don't understand what Lord means. Lord isn't just another name for God. Lord means master. It's the one who rules our life. That's what it means when we call him Lord. We willfully and joyfully, we make ourselves his servants. We serve him. What does that really mean, to serve him? I think sometimes people in our time right now, they think to serve the Lord means, well, I go to church and I try not to do bad things. That's a pretty low bar, isn't it? I want you to know that the abundant life that Jesus has for us is so much more than that. It's a life of great joy and fulfillment. But listen, it can only really be found in serving. We can't just go on doing things our way, living like the world, you know, whatever I want. No, it's when we truly humble ourselves and we serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a whole heart that we find that abundant life that he offers. But we need to think of ourselves as his servants. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had lived this life as a religious man, a Pharisee, doing what he wanted, doing what he thought was right. But he was a miserable, self-righteous, bitter, angry man until one day he met Jesus and everything changed. And he turned his life over to Jesus. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He made himself a servant of the Lord. And I think sometimes, you know, in serving the Lord, we kind of have a someday attitude. You know, like, well, someday I'm going to do something big for God. You know what's better than that? It's every day, today, in the little things, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Today. You want to do something big for God? That's how you get there. It's every day. You say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? You yield yourself to him. Amen. And I'm going to say it again. There's great joy and peace and fulfillment that comes when we realize that we really are His servants. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Listen, it's such a wonderful passage. It tells us very clearly that if we'll take His yoke upon us, we're going to find rest. But get this, we have to take His yoke upon us. See, I think sometimes people just, they just want to skip over those parts and just say, "Oh, I'm weary and burdened, and the Lord will give me rest." Yeah. But we got to submit ourselves to Him and allow Him to truly be our Lord. Because here's the thing, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. When we realize that our responsibility in life is just to serve Him, just to please Him, just to do what He wants us to do, and He'll take care of the rest. We all wear a yoke of some kind. I mean, you either wear the yoke of self. I tell you, that yoke will absolutely wear you out. You know, His yoke is just serving Him. And you don't have to worry about the outcome. You just trust Him. He'll take care of the rest. But all along, listen, as we're still doing what we want and being our own master, we're never really going to know the peace, the joy, the rest that He can give. Some of you probably remember, anybody old enough to remember the old Bob Dylan song, "You're Gonna Have to Serve Somebody"? It says, it might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're gonna serve somebody. I'm sorry, bringing up a heathen song here in church. But you know what? I don't know much else about Bob Dylan, but he was right about that. You're gonna serve somebody. I mean, even if you say, "Oh, no, I ain't serving the Lord and I ain't serving the devil," well, then you're just serving self. But, yeah. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" You know, so much of the time when we talk about obedience or we think about obedience, we think about the things that we shouldn't do. But it's interesting here that Jesus doesn't talk about the things you shouldn't do here. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" We're supposed to do what Jesus says. It's not just about, you know, hey, try to be a little better and quit doing those bad things. Yeah, of course we're supposed to quit those bad things. Amen. But it's more than that. There's things that He wants us to do. And as His servants, oh, how we need to be quick to obey the Lord and focus on what He says to do. You know what? I'm convinced when we really get about the Master's business and we're busy doing what Jesus wants us to do, it's amazing how we don't have time to get in trouble. But surely this life is more than do this and don't do that. Some think they're a good Christian because they don't do certain things. I want to tell you, it's more than that. We got to be doing what He wants us to do every day, serving the Lord. You know, this is really a key element in the life that Jesus taught, serving. We've all been called to serve. You choose to follow Jesus, well, you're choosing a life of service, to serve the Lord, to do His will, to do His purpose. Sometimes people get a little confused about this gospel of grace. They think it doesn't matter what you do. And I talk about this next few scriptures here, three verses. I talk about it a lot, and I really think it's the Lord has me do it, because I think He wants to call people to serve. It's Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. It says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yes, we are saved by grace through faith, not by works, but because we're saved, we do good works. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's right. If you're born again, you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. God prepared them in advance. And then it says, we should walk in them. We got to walk in those good works, what God has for us, what he wants us to do. And every day, we ought to be living a life serving the Lord, doing good works in his service. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, and I'm going to read these two from the NIV, just a little simpler. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is how he builds up the body of Christ. It's works of service. Works of service. Works. That sounds like work, right? Service. Works of service. Oh no, we just send our money to that big guy, that big preacher, you know, and he's beaming it all over the world. That's all we got to do. That's not what the Bible teaches. And I'll tell you right now, listen, 3/4 of everybody that comes to the Lord Jesus comes through a friend, a neighbor, a family member, an acquaintance. That's how they come. But even more than that, not just in the witnessing and sharing our faith with people, listen, God moves and works in his people and through his people, and this is how the body is built up, so that the body of Christ may be built up. How's that happen? Works of service. Amen. We all have a part in this. And that's not a bad thing. No, that's a wonderful thing that every single one of you matters in the kingdom, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of you has a part in what God is doing. In verse 16 of that same chapter, it says, from him, from Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The body builds itself up in love. Can't ever leave the love out. Amen. But it's as each part does its work. You see, we serve because we love the Lord, but also because we love others. Each part does its work in love. And I'm so thankful for so many here at Grace that serve in some way, putting in hours and hours every week. And, you know, I just want to say I appreciate all of our greeters and how friendly they are. I appreciate those who serve as ushers. I appreciate those that work with the kids, especially those that change the diapers. Amen. I appreciate our youth leaders, and you know, they're out there right now with doing their big event. And I know there's going to be some young people whose lives, whose eternity is changed tonight because those people are serving. I'm thankful for our security team, and I'm thankful for Heather on the sound and those running the cameras and so many serving in so many different areas. You know, sometimes we don't acknowledge this or think about it, but I'm thankful for those that serve as prayer warriors, because I want to tell you, without God's help, none of this works. And we get God's help by prayer. Those people are super important in the body. And, you know, not all service is done here in this building. Amen? No, many of you, you're serving out in the community. You're sharing your faith with others and reaching out to people and, you know, serving in some way. It all is a part of the body of Christ being built up. Serving Jesus, always our example in serving. Mark 10:45, he said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The Word, who was with God and who was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. Just so you know, I want you to understand this about this word. In the King James, it says he didn't come to be ministered to, but to minister. And if you do a word study about this word, serve, you'll see that the same word is used to be translated as serve or minister, depending on the context and what the translators felt like it should be. But here's the real deal. You see, serving is ministry, and ministry is serving, and we should never really completely separate the two. They go together. Serving is ministry. Ministry is serving. That's the way it's always supposed to be. And we can't lose that in the church today. You know, the Apostle Paul, he talked about these super apostles. And I don't think he thought much of them. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of superstars today in the body of Christ. I don't know if the Lord thinks much of that, all I'm saying. Because it's not about us. It's always about him. And it's about serving and helping others. It's not about some superstar. Lord, I prayed that you help me to say what I need to say. And that only. I'm rambling. Y'all pray for me. But here's what I want to say about that serving. You see, all of us are in ministry in a way. That doesn't mean, obviously, that doesn't mean that we're all going to be in vocational ministry. But all of us are a part of this. It's one of the things that I think is really confusing in this world is that, you know, it's like, well, that's the minister's job. That's the paid preacher's job. I want to tell you, that doesn't get it done. It's God's people doing the works of service in the body of Christ. There's not any spectators. We're all a part of this. And by the way, God uses people. Believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Believers. We're his servants. And all of us have been called to serve, to minister to others. Do you know, I mentioned how the Lord brings people through family, friends, neighbors, acquaintances, co-workers. That's how most people come to the Lord. But you know, that even happened a whole lot in the scripture. Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Philip went and told Nathanael, his friend, he said, come and see. The woman at the well, she went back into town. That's what she said to the people there. She said, come and see. Come and see. I'm just telling you, the Lord uses people, everyday kind of people, all of us. He uses all of us. I think a lot of Christians, they kind of almost live two separate lives. It's like there's the church life and then there's the normal life. But we're his servants 24/7. And when we take on that mentality, that attitude, it changes things. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Whatever you do. Now he's actually talking about even in our work, whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Whatever you do it as a servant of the Lord. And I want to tell you that it changes the mundane into something more when we look at life that way. That whatever we do, we're doing it as unto the Lord. We're serving Him in everything we do. And I'll tell you, when we have that mentality, then our work and our relaxation, our recreation, whatever else, it can become an opportunity to be used of God when we have that servant mentality, that whatever we're doing it as unto the Lord. But we need to see ourselves as his servant. And when we do that, I'm telling you, we're stepping over into something that where there's a blessing. It's such an important part of the kingdom of God, serving. Not talked about a whole lot in church today, but it needs to be. You know, the disciples were arguing about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. I got to tell you, we shouldn't sit in judgment on them, because really and truly, we tend to be a lot like them. I mean, don't raise your hand. Who wants to clean the toilets tonight? I'll help. I'll help in a supervisory capacity. We want that job, right? I'm just saying, we look at the disciples and we're like, these guys, come on. But the truth is that we all have those same tendencies and we got to deal with that. But here's what happened. It's Mark 9:35. We'll start there. It says, Jesus, and he sat down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. You want to be great? You want to be first? You got to be last and servant of all. The kingdom, it's so different from the ways of the world. You see, and when Jesus said this, it was radical, because in every culture, in every place, the attitude was always, the key to greatness is to fight your way to the top. You got to push and pull. You got to do whatever it takes so that you can be the greatest. So you can be the most exalted. So you can be the dominant one. So you got to push others down. Get them out of your way so you can be. And oh, how that attitude is still so prevalent in our culture today. What Jesus taught when he says this, it's absolutely radical, but we need to take it to heart. This is our Savior, and this principle is still true today. It's still, he didn't change his word for us. If we want to be great in the kingdom, want to be first, you got to be last. Last. And you got to be the servant of who? All. Now I want to tell you, when Jesus says we're to be the servant of all, the word servant here is different. It means a willing servant. It's not a slave, but it's a willing servant. It's something that we have to choose to do. We do belong to him. But here in this passage, it's talking about something that you choose to do. And I just want you to understand that as we choose to be the servant of all, that doesn't mean that you should never hold a position, or, you know, that you shouldn't be willing to be seen as important in some way. But here's what it does mean, is that no matter what position or what privilege we might have, we use that to serve others. We never think that we're above, but we always, always choose to serve those who might seem to be unimportant, the lowest. In verse 36, it says, then, this is the very next verse, he says, you got to be the servant of all. Then he takes a little child and set him in the midst, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. You know, children are the bottom of the totem pole in society. I know some of you are thinking, oh no, they're super important. I know. I got kids and grandkids. But you need to understand what I'm talking about here. They don't have influence. They can't advance your career. They're not going to enhance your prestige. And they can't really do much for you. Well, they can give you a lot of joy, right? But they can't really do a whole lot for you. In fact, the opposite is going to be true. You're going to do a whole lot for them. That's the way that works. But Jesus brings this little child, and he puts this little child before them because he wants them to understand that even a little child who can't do anything for them, they serve. In Matthew 25, Jesus says to the righteous, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And the righteous will answer, Lord, when did we do these things? And he says, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see, when we serve others, not the big shot, not when we serve somebody important, when we serve the least of these, the last one maybe that we would think we should serve. He says, when you did that, you did it to me. What a wonderful, precious thing to know that when you serve somebody else, that you're actually serving Jesus. Jesus, always our example. In Philippians 2, it tells us that he came and he took upon himself the form of a bondservant and became obedient to the death on a cross. That's that passage that goes on to say that God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess, I just want you to know Jesus is always our example. He gives us and the disciples an example. He washes the feet of the disciples. And I'm not going to read the whole story, but I want to read what he says afterward in John 13, beginning in verse 14. He says, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." This is for all of us, church. We are to serve one another. And we need to follow Christ's example. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." Jesus, always our example. And here's what he says in verse 17. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He didn't say we were blessed if we know them. He didn't say that we would be blessed if we studied about it and talked about it. He said we would be blessed if we do them. Anybody want to be blessed? You know what? Jesus tells us how. We serve. You're going to be blessed. The blessing of the Lord. Sometimes in Christian circles, it seems like kind of like people have the attitude that being blessed means you get to be on top. Here's how you get blessed. You serve like our Lord and Savior. "Anyone who desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." And by the way, I got to address this. He's not talking about having foot washings. I mean, I get it, and I'm not saying that that can't be a special thing if God set that up and put that in somebody's heart to do, but it's just funny how some people tried to make it an ordinance of the church or something. That's not what he's talking about. This was one of the lowest, dirtiest jobs of that time. And for Jesus to do this for his disciples, it was truly being a servant to them. And he set this example, and he told the disciples, and he tells us, you should do likewise. Blessed are you if you do it. You see, serving one another, that's supposed to be our MO. It's the way we operate. Not looking out for ourselves, but looking for an opportunity to serve. And I just want to, I got to get this in here. I just want to tell you, we had a whole lot of new people right now. A lot of new people coming. I don't know if you've realized it or not, but just in the last 2 weeks, we've probably had 30 to 40 or 45 visitors on Sunday in the last two Sundays. We got a lot of new people coming right now. And you know what? That is wonderful. That's what we pray for. We pray for harvest and people coming in. Amen. And Jesus is building his church. But here's what I also know about that. We need more people to serve. I'm just telling you. We talk about who's going to do this and who's going to do that. We need more people to serve. But here's what I want to close with tonight. We can't just serve those that we think deserve it. Think about what Jesus did when he washed the disciples' feet. One of them was going to betray him. One of them was going to deny him. And the other 10 were going to desert him. That very night that he washed their feet. But we're never more Christ-like when we selflessly serve others. And it can be so powerful. Serving others, it can change your family. Serving others can change your workplace. It can change the classroom. Serving others, it can change your neighborhood. Serving others, church, it can even change culture. It can have an impact on the world around us just by us serving as we've been called to serve. And remember this, when we are serving others, we're always doing it as unto the Lord. We're always serving Him. Stand with me, we're going to pray.